and welcome. It is time for the Pride of Detroit PODcast. PrideDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. Gotta go fast. Ooh, I'm in my coffee. We are recording early on a Sunday after a wonderful start to college football season, which I care about. And Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, isn't here to stop me. He's not here. He wanted to cover news breaking on the wire about the Detroit Lions practice squad. He's not on this podcast. Instead, we have straight to Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD. Ryan, how are you doing, buddy?
I am admittedly a little less frenetic than you are, but I'm here and I'm excited.
I'm mostly frenetic because I'm having my coffee right now.
So. Right. I'm not on PEDs.
PEDs. Coffee is my PED. Yep. What'd you think about college football Saturday?
Michigan lost, so I don't want to say that I'm happy or that I'm excited, but I just
we're gonna lose all our listeners by saying that. That was a raw loss.
I blew it. I really blew it. I'm not good at this radio stuff.
No, it's fine. We get it. You're the Sparty, so you're allowed to have fun.
Yeah. And I can do a little bit of dancing just because Jeremy's not here.
Oh man, the slack was very torn up after that Michigan game. You would have thought the Lions season would have started by now.
I think Jeremy bowed out pretty early too. I don't even think he made it to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think he fell asleep like in the middle of the third or something. So he didn't get to see kind of the abomination of how that all ended. Me, I'm a Trojan. I'm a neutral arbiter. I was kind of rooting for both sides to lose, to be honest. I was more excited that Chip Kelly galaxy brained UCLA into a loss last night.
You were torn up once you found out that Shea Patterson was from Toledo.
I was. He's a good old Toledo boy. I enjoyed that. But we should move on and talk about the Detroit Lions because we got a lot of news on the roster and a lot of news on some trade fronts. And to help us with that, we are bringing in a new member of Pride of Detroit, our social media guru, as he is, John Whitaker. Half of the West Coast Pride of Detroit crew and a double Lions fan, Detroit Lions and BC Lions. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. That's actually how I became a Detroit Lions fan. In Madden, I used to relocate the Detroit Lions to BC. So no love lost.
Could you relocate them to Vancouver or was it just BC?
Yeah, there was Vancouver. So it was back in like Madden for PC. And you could actually import your own logo. So I had like the BC Lions helmet, got like their jerseys all set up. It was pretty dope.
So John became a Lions fan by taking the Lions away from Detroit.
Yep.
Great, great start to it. I think your nickname is going to be Double Lions, though.
I actually have that. I had that in my Twitter for the longest time where I mentioned like, oh, I'm a Canucks fan. I'm a Blue Jays fan. And then I had Lions squared.
It's a Canucks fan, Ryan.
It's tough.
I mean, it's okay. They don't really have anything like tangible.
We got
Brock Besser. There you go. All we need.
All right. Well, where do you want to start? We've got quite a bit of talking here to do. Rosters are good. Let's just start with Cleveland. I mean, there's really not much to say. It was the fourth preseason game. We're not going to talk about it much. I'm sorry if you want to hear a recap of this game, but most of the guys who were playing on Thursday are probably not on the Lions squad anymore.
No, nope. We have the 53-man roster, and a lot of the guys who had the chance to maybe impress didn't impress. I don't think anybody really did impress in that fourth preseason game. Yeah, it wasn't good.
No. And I mean, like, the only one we can really say kind of, I'm looking at the box scores right now, like, Brandon Powell didn't even get to play too much. Like they were throwing out there Dwayne Washington and Dontez Ford. They were lining up Dwayne Washington to take some receiving yards here. Mostly it was just having Dwayne Washington run to see if he could get a place on this roster. And it doesn't look that way. 20 carries.
That is an admittedly pretty big workload. And I mean, I know, you know, no blunt, no carry on or anything like that. So he had a shot, but then again, he had a shot, you know, the past two seasons. So
yep, pretty
another thing to consider is that Zenner also got hurt in that game. So I think what Dwayne played like 95% of snaps or something. So that's probably would have been split between the two of them.
Yeah. Without ZZ in there, like, that just basically means, hey, Dwayne, this is your game, buddy. Run with it.
And even with that being said, though, I don't think that we even thought that it was possible that both of those guys had a chance to make the roster, either one of them, really.
No, I think we've already said for a while now, the 1-4 for running backs is like already locked and set. And if there was any chance for another person to get on, it's probably going to be through a fullback. So I'm just looking through the other notes here that I had. Like, there wasn't much to write home about, man. Nope. There really
Jake
wasn't.
Rudon dinked and dunked his way down the field, as per usual.
I'm looking at all the names from the defense I have wrote down here. I just have a big question mark around the name Darnell Sankey, who I didn't even realize was on the team.
I got nothing.
Yep. All right.
I don't have a scouting report.
We lost the... Oh, yeah, go on, Ron.
This was the Cleveland game.
Yeah, they can have their little barge. I don't care.
Yeah, we lost the trophy, man. That was like the only trophy we could actually win, beating Detroit Lions. Is that too harsh?
Yikes.
John without not Ryan, making a great first impression.
without Jeremy here, I think there's going to be a dearth in like hyper positivity. This we're going to talk about it later, but this preseason's not left a lot of good tastes in many people's mouths. And I think that's a little more fair than just trying to write it off and saying it's the preseason. But you know, we'll talk about that later. Instead, I want to talk about a couple trades. Do you want to talk about the trade the Detroit made or the trade that's probably going to actually affect Detroit?
Let's talk about real quick. Let's get the trade that Detroit made out of the way.
Okay. Corey Robinson traded.
Yes. Corey Robinson traded to the Carolina Panthers for a conditional 2020 seventh round pick. They're really in need of help because Matt Khalil doesn't look like he'll ever be healthy for an extended period of time. So, they needed tackle help pretty badly. And I think this is even kind of similar to, you know, the trade that the Lions had to put together last year when they got Greg Robinson. But Carolina just needed anybody that they could put over there. And I guess you could do a lot worse than Corey Robinson. But at the same time, it was nice, I guess, for the Lions to at least get a chance to get a pick on a player that they weren't going to keep, you know, they weren't going to keep anyways.
Yeah. Conditional. And I mean, to Corey Robinson's credit, I've been following him a while and I know he's always on and off the roster, but like he's a very flexible player. So that'll be fun to see. Like if he can make it in Carolina, he'll be in a good spot, I think.
Another thing is that pick we get essentially makes up for the Eli Harold trade because both conditional. I don't know what the condition is for this trade. Do any of you guys know?
I haven't seen the conditions for this. I knew the conditions for the Eli Harold pick. I think if he made the roster, yeah, and then if he played for a certain amount of time. So, but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point to bring up that the Lions could recoup the seventh round pick that they had to expend on Harold. But let's talk about the trade that actually mattered.
The one, as I said, that is actually going to affect the Detroit Lions.
For the next 6 years.
For at least. Holy God. Because if you thought it wasn't hard enough in the NFC North with a god like Aaron Rodgers sitting up there in Green Bay or whatever nightmare defense that the Minnesota Vikings put together, the Bears are absolutely 100% serious right now. They are very serious. We still own the Bears. Hashtag we own the Bears. But it's going to be a little harder to start to keep owning the Bears when they have one Khalil Mack lining up against this Detroit Lions offense.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, a few things about this trade. The first thing that stands out the most is...
Raiders got hosed.
Thank you for saying that, because I was going to try to say it in a nicer way, but John Gruden deserves all of the hellfire that he's getting thrown his way. Because it wasn't even just this. As a quick aside, they cut Martavis Bryant, who they traded a third-round pick to get. I mean, everything was bad yesterday for the Raiders. It was bad.
They acquired A.J. McCarron for a fifth-rounder, a 2019 fifth-rounder. For a guy who's going to get cut? I mean, come on.
What are they doing? I don't know what John Gruden's doing. I really don't.
It is, baby.
The AFC can't have nice things. It can't have nice things that aren't called the Steelers or Patriots, apparently.
Man, can we move conference just for 1 year? I want to see how we do.
We wonder why those teams are dynasties for a reason.
You look around.
Yeah, you look at the rest of the landscape in the AFC, and everything else is just
unless it's like Peyton Manning getting his spine to line for one last run, or the Baltimore Ravens catching lightning in a bottle with their defense. It's the usual suspects over in the AFC.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the particulars of the Khalil Mack trade, right?
Let's. So I think the Raiders give up 2 first-round picks. I believe
the Bears give up 2 first-round picks.
The Bears, that's what I meant to say. Okay, so yep. At least the Bears won't be drafting this couple of years, but I mean, their defense is looking pretty solid.
Yeah, looking real solid. And then some of the other, here's where things got interesting, because I mean, everybody understood that like the Raiders wanted 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack. That seemed like that's how you enter into negotiations with us, and then we'll go from there. But the only other things that they pick up from the Bears are a 3rd-round pick and also a 6th-round pick.
Oh. Can I just say this too? I am now reading this thing from the Raiders general manager, Reggie McKenzie.
Yeah.
He says, my whole thought process was to get Khalil signed. It was at the end and the final hour just hit. It was not a plan to trade him at all.
It's funny too, because he also says that they'll, quote, still pay top dollar to top players. Nope.
This is probably one of the top, definitely. Like outside of Aaron Donald, this is probably like the best defensive player out there.
Well, speaking of Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, he got a, what contract? 100 and something mil?
160, I saw.
Just surpassing Donald, who signed it, what, that was like a few days ago. So Khalil, there's a lot of money.
I've got the numbers here. 6 years, $141 million on his extension.
I mean, Khalil Mack got Matthew Stafford money. We realize this, right? Like he got $90 million in practical guarantees. Stafford got $92 million. Khalil Mack's getting paid. He got $60 million signing bonus up front. And I think that's really why the Raiders couldn't swing a deal with him right now, because they're in the midst of that move to, you know, Vegas, and they literally just did not have the like liquid assets to like pay the man. So they had to trade him.
John, is this kind of the new era? Like, do you see this being a trend where like defensive players are finally striking back and they want as much money as some of these skill positions on the offense?
It definitely seems like it. So a few years back, it started with, I would say, Albert Haynesworth. I think he's one of the bigger guys. And then obviously Ndamukong Suh. And then, yeah, Donald Mack now. And so it does beg the question as to whether or not it is worth it, because you look at a guy like Sue, for example. I mean, he did decently in Miami, but if you look at their success over the past few years, they haven't really won any games. Now, I'm not going to talk about DT wins or anything stupid like that.
Well, Alfred Haynesworth, obviously.
It's a lot of money for a non-quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, we all saw what happened with Albert Haynesworth, but I think the difference is with Donald and Mack is like these are two really young guys who kind of chafed at the rookie scaling contract and decided to play hardball and got exactly what they wanted.
Well, that's another thing we can talk about is the success of holdouts this year, too. Because obviously we had those guys, then Beckham and Rodgers, and they got paid.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, like, this is going to be a problem for the Lions. This is going to be a real problem for the Lions. Like, I don't know how well the Bears are going to be this year, especially because their offense still looks like silly putty. Especially with
Mitchell Trubisky.
First Bite is coming back next week. I'll see what happens when we get to the Bears, if Robert Zielinski still feels like stepping into the church of Mitch. But this defense is going to, like, there's a lot of good defenses in the NFC North right now, and the Detroit Lions are not one of them.
They're the only one who don't have a good defense.
Seriously, like, I think I'd even rank the Packers defense above the Lions right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It just, this is an offensive minded team in a division of just murderous defenses.
Well, let me put on my Bob Quinn tinfoil hat real quick and say, hey, when all those teams zigged and got great defenses, Bob Quinn zagged and put together maybe the best offensive line in the division. So
we'll see if that offensive line comes together, though, because as we've seen from the preseason, needs some work. But
yeah. The one other thing about the Khalil Mack trade that we didn't talk about was that the reason that the Raiders got hosed so bad is that they sent a 2nd-round pick with Khalil Mack to Chicago.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand that.
I just don't like when the initial report came out from Rap Sheet, like he made it sound like, you know, okay, like the baseline is that it's like two first round picks that are going, you know, back to Oakland, but there's like more in the deal too. I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe the Bears are giving up a starter, or maybe they're giving up like a, like another, like, you know, a second round pick, like in a later year or something like that. No, like the Raiders fell on their face so hard. And for anybody who wanted John Gruden to come to Detroit to be your head coach, things can always be worse. You were upset about the preseason. I'm not very happy about the preseason, but just be happy that you're not the Oakland soon to be Las Vegas Raiders.
I mean, this feels like a classic Al Davis moment. Does it not? Like, it feels like Al Davis is back alive in his late years. I loved Al Davis. I love what he stands for. But the man made some, like, you want to know why the Raiders are in a sad, terrible state. Because if Al Davis was alive, he would make a deal just like this.
Well, they still have Mark Davis and his bowl cut.
He skeeves me out every time I look at him.
Is that even a bowl cut? I don't even know it is. Because that's a misshaped bowl.
I'm sure the bowls in his house are all misshaped. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions' final 53-man roster. We're going to talk about who impressed us from the preseason, who probably didn't really impress us, or maybe we're not sure why they're on the roster. It's the final edition of Impress Depress, at least until, I think, do we do this in the regular? I think we did this in the regular season last year too, so maybe it might come back. Either way, we're going to play around with the roster. We're going to tell you about your final 53-man and get into a little bit of the preseason. I mean, into the little bit of the preview, my bad. Reminder that First Bite midweek podcast is coming back as well. Stick around. Detroit Lions PODcast. We'll be right back. All right, back here again on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. I mentioned First Bite is coming back at the end of the last segment. Let me reclarify on that. We are having First Bite coming back here. We are in the process of booking our New York Jets, J-E-T-S. I'm not even doing a New York accent. Don't do that. He or she will be with us, hopefully. And we will also, that'll probably be a double-sized First Bite because we want to also preview the Detroit Lions as well a little more in depth, because we're kind of in that transitional phase between preseason and regular season, and I want to talk more on the Lions as well. But let's talk about the final 53-man roster. Do you guys want to start there, or do you want to play Impress Depress?
You're the master of ceremonies.
Am I? I feel like I'm just a passenger on this wild ride we call life.
Oh, I mean, you mean a passenger on this wild ride we call the road to WrestleMania?
That's also life.
All right, guys, I'm hanging up. See you guys.
Great, John. John's not.
No, don't worry. I am actually on board with wrestling. We can talk about that. Jeremy's not here, too.
No, we're not going to talk about wrestling, even though, like, I haven't seen All In, because apparently that was really good. But talking 53-man roster before more people hang up. Let's go down the ranks here. I don't want to I'll play Impress Depress next segment on this, but like, what really surprised you about the final 53-man roster? Like, what was the big takeaways? Because, like, I think we all I got asked this by the Browns guys about, were there any battles to really be fought by four final spots on this roster? I think the only thing that surprised me is that the Lions are carrying six wide receivers going into the season.
That's the number one. That's the number one biggest surprise with a bullet. I don't think anybody expected the Lions to keep any more than four receivers, even with as well as, you know, Brandon Powell kind of showed out in the preseason a little bit. It was special teams ability. And it's really hard to gauge how well he did as a receiver based on the quarterbacks that he was, you know, being paired up with. So, I mean, I won't hold that against them, but I think everybody just assumed that the Lions would, you know, keep Jones, Tate, Galladay, and then Jones Jr. And the Lions would roll with four receivers again. But the fact that they kept six is, I think, the biggest shock to anybody. And I don't think that the Lions will have six wide receivers on their roster by Monday next week. when they're playing the Jets. I don't think they will. No, I don't think so. What do you think, John?
So yeah, as you mentioned, the six wide receivers, because not only that, they're also keeping four tight ends. Because before in our bubble watch, when we were talking about who's going to make it, who's going to be out, a lot of people had four tight ends making it. But as a result, we had six, we had four wide receivers making it. So now all of a sudden we have way more people than we expected. And then as a sacrifice, look at the defensive line. We're only carrying seven linebackers, only carrying seven. Like all of a sudden there was like probably like a three or so player swing from defense to offense from what most of us predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really zagged, as we like to keep saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think with the Lions, you know, keeping ostensibly, you know, maybe three more skill position players than you would have assumed that they did. And like you mentioned, John, them keeping less defensive players, especially on the line of the linebackers. That's why I truly think with some of the roster cuts, and I mean, we won't get into, you know, names of players that the Lions may either pick up or you know, what they might do from other teams' leftovers when they had to make cuts. But I truly think that that's where you're going to see the roster turnover. They're going to dump skill position players and pick up other teams' kind of leftovers, whether or not they're linebackers or defensive linemen or even guys in the secondary. Because, yeah, I mean, we'll get into some particular guys that shocked us that were cut in a little bit later here in the show. But also the Lions keeping 10 offensive linemen, I think, was a little bit surprising. You know, obviously they had their starting five, but beyond that, you know, keeping Tyrell Crosby was a for sure. Especially after drafting him this season, they needed to keep a tackle and they traded away Corey Robinson. So that really opened up the door for Brian Mahalik. But then it seemed a little bit puzzling that they did go with three interior linemen who admittedly do have some versatility, but you know, Leo, Kenny Wiggins and Joe Dahl, keeping all three of those guys, maybe a little bit overkill. I don't know. What do you think?
I think Joe Dahl did a good job making on the roster.
It's good job, Joe Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a better job than most people, but I don't know. What do you think, John?
I found he wasn't very good in the first two games, but he steadily improved. Also, you can tell he was getting favored by the coaches because he was playing earlier snaps too. Because I think like in the first game, he played into the fourth quarter. So obviously getting those second quarter snaps or whenever, it's a good sign for him too.
Yeah, for sure. Are you surprised that Miles Killebrew made the roster?
Personally, no. I think his transition to linebacker is essentially what saved it, along with Steve Longa going on IR. Because I think at this point, you can't really count on him as a starter. I mean, when we drafted him, he was kind of supposed to be that hybrid safety linebacker would be like really good against tight ends, all those athletic guys we were running into out of the draft. And he never really developed into that. If anything, his coverage is his worst trait. He's better run stopper. So that's where being a linebacker could be better. But also he needs to improve on special teams. And at this point, I think that is his key to the roster. I think he's still on thin ice right now. So we'll see what happens over the next few weeks when they do bring in more people, because he might be on the outs. Either him or Trevor Bates. Watch out for those two.
Yeah. What do you guys... Oh, sorry, go on, Ryan.
I was going to say real quick, too, about Killebrew is the thing with him is that when he came in, the Lions also signed Tavon Wilson. So it was just kind of... not. I mean, that kind of almost cost him his spot, because I think the things that Miles Killebrew was expected to do well, Tavon Wilson does all that stuff, but better. You know, he's a better run defender. Now, Killebrew did see some time early on, like, you know, covering tight ends and, you know, doing some special things like that. But last year, he really took a big step back. So, but I agree with you. I mean, Killebrew, not like a lock to stick around on the roster all year.
Is there anything to the news that the Lions got significantly older on average on their 53-man roster? Ranked number 27th, I believe, by Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice, with an average of 26.6 years.
I don't think so. I mean, you added a pretty old quarterback in Matt Cassel. I mean, a lot of our core guys are still here, so obviously they're 1 year older.
Well,
and then, you know, you have a guy.
Here's the four guys that bumped it up. Ricky Jean-Francois is 31. Castle is 36. Blunt is 31. And I think Kenny Wiggins is 30. Mm. So a lot of that's coming from those four.
Well, and then Ezekiel Ansah is 46.
Don, don't forget about Don Muehlbach either, too, baby.
Oh, man.
No, he's always with us.
I mean, he plays like he's 26, but...
Yeah, him on special teams, he was hustling some of these preseason games.
Oh, yeah. His birth certificate will tell you different, but that man plays like he's 26 forever.
I mean, they tried coming at him a couple of years ago with Jimmy Landis, and I think he's now on the can't-go-back train for rest of his career.
I think he effectively like stole Jimmy Landis's essence. Like he tried to come for the crown and he cut him down to size and then.
Landis got hurt and they had to bring Muehlbach back.
No, Landis got hurt in preseason or training camp.
Yeah, that's right. Cause like
he never released or anything. They had a battle. Remember long snapper watch? Good times.
Mm-hmm.
When I say good times, I mean bad times.
We've had some interesting watches over the years. I think Hacken watch is almost about to go away too. I don't know.
I hope not.
We go to Darnold watch.
Yeah, but that's not.
He's actually good.
He's actually good.
I saw him at USC and I disagree, but we'll see. We'll see what Jets fans say. We're going to see him week one, so this is going to be rough. Anyway, anything else to say about this roster? I'm looking over it and I'm not trying to be a downer too much, but I'm just kind of I don't know. At this point, like I know the guys at the top. I know the faces. Like Kerryon Johnson is probably the most exciting new face for me to see, but I think I've said it before. I just don't get up for offensive line or what happens on the offensive line. I know it's important, but I just don't. I'm not smart enough. My dumb male brain is not smart enough to handle talking about the offensive line and what Frank Ragnow brings to it.
We need a guy like Jeff Schwartz to talk about it. He's the guru.
G off. That's a really old joke right there. Wow. Anything else, Ryan?
Can I mention something?
Oh yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. You're
we're gonna talk about impress depress, so I'll save that. But one player who I'm not gonna mention for that segment is my beloved thicker kicker, Ryan Santoso. Now he is a deep place in my heart, because he was kicking and punting. And as a CFL fan, a lot of guys do that up here. So I don't know what kind of gig he's gonna get or if he's gonna get one at all, because I mean he wasn't that impressive. I think he was like probably 50% for his field goals. But I always like the idea of having one person do both. I always kind of wondered if an NFL team would actually do that to save a roster spot.
What do you think, Ryan?
Well, if you rewind back to week one of last season when, you know, the Lions had the injury bug bite them, you know, with Sam Martin and then Casey Redfern when he got injured in week one. Matt Prater was pulling double duty, man. And I mean, I can't say that he did bad in his one punt that he had, but I don't know. That is an interesting thing to think about that I guess you don't spend a whole lot of time on it. I mean, it would be awesome if you can consolidate that position into one and, you know, keep skill position player, but
what would be the fantasy implications though, Ryan?
Oh, I think you'd want to stay away from a guy who does kicking and punting because he could run into a Casey Redfern situation. He's just out there that much more. Unless we should start employing punters on our fantasy teams.
I would rather do punters than I would honestly rather do punters than IDFs anyway, so
I'm down with that. I mean,
IDPs. God, my brain's not working. Like that's more fun to me than drafting an IDP, is it not?
Yeah, because I think that there are just there are so many cool ways that you could award points. Hang time.
Dude, coffin corner kicks should be worth points.
Yeah, yeah. Kicks inside, you know, kicks that land inside the 20 are worth, you know, 2 points. Kicks that land inside the 10 are worth 3, inside the 5.
Points that go X number of yards. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And if they complete a pass, it should be worth like 4 times the normal amount.
No, you just win the league automatically. If you throw a pass, boom, you win.
You win the league. It's over. Yeah. Like it happened in week 2, but if Sam Martin throws a touchdown pass, everybody
can
else
you imagine?
Got it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's worth like 100 fantasy points right there.
Dude, Pat McAfee, he would be repping the brand so hard. Oh my goodness. I would. Ooh, that'd be great.
He's a free agent now. He's no longer with Barstool. We should get him.
Yeah.
I think Jeremy's dying right now. Punter and fantasy talk right now.
I know. And we are on the road to WrestleMania. Boom. All right, let's take a quick break here. We're going to play Impress, Depress, and give general thoughts about the Lions season coming up. As I said, we're going to have First Bite this week as well. We've got a huge amount of stuff coming here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. But finishing this up, get you to your mailbag later, and talk about just general thoughts about the season, because this is John's first time on the podcast. We want to welcome right. John Whitaker. Look for him on Twitter. Where?
Wrath of John.
Wrath of John.
Underscores, too. I tried to get the one without underscores. No luck.
Yeah. Wrath underscore of underscore John. And he continues with us here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Pride of Detroit PODcast back here. I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host. Ryan Matthews, the rock god. John Whitaker, the double Lions guy. We're just guys being dudes here.
I need a better name.
It's a college football season, and that's what we have to say. In the words of Boston College coach Steve Adazio of the late great Vine, just guys being dudes.
One of my favorite Vines.
Absolutely. I miss Vine so much, and that was probably one of my favorites. There's some good ones on there. Back at it again at Krispy Kreme.
The Toto Dog. That's how we got the theme song in the first place.
Yeah,
right?
Toto Dog. Dick Cheney made money off the Iraq War and guys being dudes. Those are like my top five. I don't know if I counted right. Don't correct me.
We should do a list cast sometime of top nines.
We still haven't done our list cast, Ryan, of top tweets.
Because I just think that should never happen. Like, we should talk about it a bunch because it helps us go back into our old tweets and find the ones that we like, but we can never whittle down a list to 10.
Like, I think Trubisky's Go Packers is up there.
I have categories if we ever do that. Like, you know, Stephen A. Smith's Take a Look, Y'all, as far as like earnest tweets that came off wrong. And there's just one category that's just drill. And that's the hardest one for me. I have to narrow drill down to one tweet.
Yeah, you can't have too many drill tweets, but at the same time, you can never have too many drill tweets.
But that's the thing. Like, my top 10 would be all drill if I let it to be. So right. I have to limit myself.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Impress Depress. You want me to sing the song? Impress Depress. Da 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 da. There.
Beautiful.
Still waiting on that remix.
Keeps getting better every time.
I'm getting practice. Maybe I should go into, I'm here in LA, I should go into show business. All right, guys. Who impressed you? Who depressed you from this Lions 53-man roster? We're not even talking about game four, just the entire preseason. You're looking at this roster right now. You're seeing guys who are like, yeah, I get exactly why that guy is on the roster. Totally, 100%. And then you see another guy and you're like, really? He's the one who survived? I don't know about that. That's what we're playing today on Impress Depress.
A fantastic summation. That was a fantastic summation of what we're doing, Chris.
Thank you. That's why I am the host here, and you guys are the ones who are actually going to talk about who impressed and depressed you. So let's start with the new guy, John. Who impressed you? Who is the standout from this preseason in your mind?
So the first guy I want to mention is our beloved Hakeem Vullis. I've heard at least five different pronunciations of it through broadcasts and whatnot. So I'm just going to call him Hakeem. There we go. It's nice and simple. So obviously we had some big competition at tight end. I mean, I wouldn't really pencil in anyone per se as the starter. I mean, obviously we brought in Luke Wilson and Toy Lolo, and we had hoped that Roberts could step into that starting role, but no one's really shown much. Obviously Wilson barely played this preseason. He got hurt. Toy Lolo is more of a blocker. I mean, he's like 6'7", so he'll be a good red zone target, I guess. And then, it's where Hakeem has really stepped up. And I think he led the Lions tight ends in receiving yards, I think. And I think he was second in catches to Jeremy's beloved Marcus Lucas. Aside from that, he's also looked good as a decent as a blocker, too. And honestly, I think he has a pretty good chance of making an impact. I mean, for the longest time, I thought, honestly, Roberts was going to get cut. As I said, he wasn't really impressive. And I mean, we've seen guys who get cut in their second year, and I thought that could happen.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as I love my beloved Toledo boy, Michael Roberts, and I will stand for Toledo every day, I was sharing being a U Toledo fan with a friend the other night, but like, he hasn't really played himself into starting that role either. Do you guys, as a side note, before we get on to Ryan's impressive player, do you guys, again, I hate to keep doing this because people really wanted him gone, but they're going to regret cutting Eric Ebron, are they?
I think so. I mean, I don't know how you cannot. The position went from, I don't even want to just, I feel like it might be a little reductive to just say like solidified, because Ebron was better than that. But at the same time, it always felt like he wasn't going to reach the level of production that many people expected of him just because of that stupid draft spot that he landed in.
But Aaron Donald.
Yeah. But Aaron Donald, but Odell Beckham Jr., but Taylor Lewan, all three guys who became the highest paid players at their position this offseason.
It does feel like, looking back, it is going to be kind of a Darko Milicic moment for the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
In that regard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Another thing you have to consider is that, like, the community was, I mean, I don't want to harp on anyone, but there was a lot of hate out there, especially in recent years when you had success from Beckham and Donald. And, I mean, honestly, a change of scenery is going to be really good. I mean, unfortunately, he's going to be catching passes from Jacoby Brissett because Luck's going to be hurt.
Hey, and well, the thing about the vitriol that he faced too, though, is that, I mean, granted, I didn't spend a whole lot of time. I went to a few games during the Millen era at Ford Field, but I had never heard a home crowd boo a home team player as loudly as people were booing Eric Ebron last season. Like, it was bad.
I don't want to stay on it. I don't want to stay on it too long, because I feel like we bring it up every like three or four podcasts, because I, you know, wrote that column defending him. But just
fair to do so, though, Chris. Yeah. It's totally fair to do so, because this tight end depth is not good. Like, an undrafted free agent who spent a year in Arizona last year and not, from Monmouth College, which is awesome. But like, Hakeem, like, definitely belongs to be in the discussion to be the starter.
Yeah,
which is insane. He basically came in as a camp body, right?
Yeah, he was a camp body.
Camp body, yeah. Like, and just Wilson injured, don't know what he has. Michael Roberts just hasn't stepped up. Toilolo, toilet. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen him cross our lips on this segment, so that's what it is. Well, speaking of the segment, we should get back to it. Ryan, who impressed you from the preseason?
Okay, he didn't. I don't understand a lot of the disgust with our good job Joe Dahl experiment that happened this preseason, but like, I think that for the most part, like, he's what you would want in a backup interior lineman. He spent some time at center. You know, he spent some time at center. He played left guard. He played right guard. I mean, he can play every spot along the interior of the line. He was probably the Lions, like, probably the Lions' best run blocker of the preseason. Like, I saw him open up holes and seal defenders, you know, on more than a few occasions. There's a run that I'm thinking about that LeGarrette Blount had in the Oakland game. You know, I thought Joe Dahl had a really good preseason. He played a lot, played in all four games. As a pass blocker, yes, like, he's still, like, you know, he leaves something to be desired, that's for sure, but there was a lot more good with Joe Dahl this, you know, this preseason than I think that there was bad. And I think a lot of people were kind of shocked to see him make the roster, or that people were saying, you know, they were wondering whether or not the Lions would even keep him. And there's even been some talk that, you know, Bob Quinn is being a little bit too lenient with a project guy that he drafted. I don't think that's the case at all. I think Joe Dahl is like the quintessential guy that you want to have on your roster to play the interior of that line. And, you know, it's just taken him a while to come along. And but that's what happens with guys who are, you know, late round draft picks.
Yeah, he was like, what, fourth round? Like,
fifth round.
So like, yeah, of course, he's supposed to be a project. He's 25. He's kind of growing into the role. Like, if that works out, then that's upside. Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
He had a lot of fierce competition too, because you had Coleman Tangi, you've had Wiggins, Johnson. And it's like, of those four guys, we had three of them making it. But like for a long time, we were thinking which two are going to make it. And really, it was a toss up between all of them. So he, as I said, he improved in the past few games.
For sure. All right. Now we move on to the depressed. So either guys who you're not surprised to see gone, or guys who made the roster that kind of boggle your mind. I'll give you lay of the land to do whatever you want here. So, John, go ahead.
I actually want to let Ryan go first because I want to see what direction he goes.
Sure. Deshaun Shedd. Deshaun Shedd was a bummer to me because the guy started out the preseason. I mean, he started training camp as the cornerback lining up opposite of Darius Slay. He was a guy who showed a lot of promise in, you know, a Seattle defense that one of the best secondaries we've seen in, you know, recent memory. But, you know, struggled with injuries, was coming back from an injury. And the Lions, you know, they put a lot of money into his contract. Seemed like he was a guy who was definitely going to stick. An upgrade, I thought, from DJ Hayden. But now he deals with injuries during the preseason, misses a couple games, comes back for the Browns game, and then he's cut. And, you know, a lot of people said, well, you know, he was on the bubble. No. Think back. At the beginning of training camp, this guy was the number two cornerback. And if you're not totally shocked or at least bummed out that the Lions are now going to be relying on either Nevin Lawson, who did anybody watch the Tampa Bay game?
Oh,
or yeah, or Tease Tabor, who I'm just not sure is quite there yet, or I'm starting to wonder if he ever will be. But I mean, those are really the only two guys who like are true outside corners now that are on this roster. Deshaun Shedd was that guy, and he isn't. The Lions secondary is not nearly in the position that a lot of us thought it was at the beginning of the preseason. So Shedd being cut was a bummer and also a surprise to me.
Yeah. So you went the way of like someone who got cut. So let's see how John goes here.
Just quick point on Shedd is he was a player that I also honestly thought played all right during the preseason too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It really came out of nowhere for me. I mean, quickly touching back on the defensive back depth. I mean, they went with four safeties, maybe five if you want to include Diggs. So, I mean, like, there's not a lot of depth, and in the end, you just throw away from Slay, right? I mean, that's the way to go. Okay, so the person who depressed me, I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm just going to say the defensive line in general. I mean, obviously, during the entire preseason, it was not pretty. We had guys like Anthony Zettel or A'shaun Robinson playing pretty late in the games. And I mean pretty late. Anthony Zettel played like 50% of snaps in game four. I mean, that's why we added him to the bubble watch. We thought he was going to get cut or something.
Is Zettel going to be the starting defensive end opposite Ansah?
I have no clue anymore, honestly. Like, honestly, out of this bunch, the only two people who really impressed me were Ricky Jean-Francois, who was a guy who, honestly, I didn't expect him to make such an impact as he did during the mm-hmm. first few games. And then Deshaun Hand, I actually think he looked pretty good as a defensive end. And he's a guy who I think might push Zettel for that spot.
Yeah, I could see them rotating around there too, because they'll have Kerry mm-hmm. Hyder as well. And obviously it's been a minute since we've seen Hyder on the field, so hard to tell. But I'm with you. I mean, if I had to distill it down to one person that depressed me from the defensive line, it is A'shaun Robinson. We all know that A'shaun is my big, large adult son and everything, but he's kind of really fallen off the table here, or at least, I mean, I think he fit better when this was, I don't want to call this a 3-4 base or a 4-3 base or anything like that. I think those terms are completely outdated in how NFL schemes for their defenses now, but he definitely fit better under the systems, under Caldwell and his defensive coordinators. Like when he's backed up by a second defensive tackle there, he's able to really stuff the run and do what he does best. But now that he's kind of, you know, there's more pressure on him, we're kind of seeing his limitations.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that surprised me was how little defensive end depth we have. So we have Alex Barrett cut, Jeremiah Valuaga cut, Cam Johnson.
Valuaga was a huge surprise to me.
Yeah, especially for Valuaga. He was pretty good during training camp. I mean, it's training camp, make it that what you will. But then like in the like games 2 and 3, he had like zero snaps. He didn't even play. So I thought that was an injury or something because it would make no sense. But yeah, I mean, they cut him on, what was that, Thursday? So, oh, wait, no, sorry, that was Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, that surprised me. And then another one that surprised me was Jeremiah Ledbetter. So coming into the most recent draft, when the Lions got Deshaun Hand, I was thinking, okay, that's kind of redundant because you have a guy who's very similar in Jeremiah Ledbetter. I think they're almost like the same size and they both kind of play inside or out. And so at first I thought, this is, I guess, depth or something. But then no, it turns out they actually cut Ledbetter. And honestly, I really didn't see that coming. I thought he played okay. I mean, the defensive line in general didn't play very well, but Ledbetter never really stood out too negatively. So especially when you look at the depth at defensive tackle, I mean, we have Robinson, Francois, and Williams. That's three guys. I hope we don't get hurt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's seven linebackers, and obviously this seems to be a defense going more linebacker heavy, but when it comes to Lions and what we've been drafting at linebacker last few years, that's not a good sign.
Nope. I almost wanted to put Jarrad Davis as my deep press because, honestly, if he wasn't a first-round pick, I think he would have been cut. He was not good. I don't want to be too negative on the guy. I know he's still young, but it was not pretty.
What do you think on him, Ryan, just real quick before we go on to mailbag, like Jarrad Davis?
It's just been nothing but, like, discouragement, you know? It's a bummer, but I also want to hold out hope that he's, you know, he's, I think this is kind of being understated that, like, this is, he's a young guy and it's also his second defensive scheme in as many years in the NFL. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fair. Like, changing schemes midway through is absolutely, that does send a shock to your system trying to relearn everything.
Yeah.
And I know we're kind of negative, and I'm seeing now that Pride of Detroit, our poll on what overall grade are you giving the Lions roster, just came out. 60% voted C as the grade. And I will say this, because I've seen some Lions fans going back and forth on this about like, hey, how, like, are you allowed to be negative after preseason? Are you allowed to start panicking this quickly on Matt Patricia? And, you know, Jeremy's even objected to the idea of even calling it panic, but I do feel pressure is good to have on a team. I don't believe in giving them a pass at all. Like, this team is supposed to be vying for going places. As they said, 9-7 wasn't good anymore. And in a sports heavy town like Detroit, yeah, put pressure on them, put pressure on them. You want people to come out to your games. You can't just sit there and expect people to show up. We've seen that around the NFL. Like, people get complacent and they just, like, let these rosters go to waste. If you like this team, if you're a fan, you're absolutely allowed to be critical. Mm-hmm. If anything else, it puts pressure. Like, I talked once with former Pistons GM Joe Dumars, and he pointed this out about Detroit. Like, the hardest thing for him was that Detroit, as a four sports team town, is that you have to keep trying. You always have to keep trying, or else the fans, the customers are going to go to another sports team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the greatest blessing Detroit has as a sports town, is that, you know, the Lions can't be complacent. You can't just be like, yeah, we're here, it's fine. You know, you have to be going for higher and higher. So anyway, let's go on to the mailbag. We've got a few questions here, and we'll keep touching on some more subjects. And I think John brought his own question to the POD cast as well. So stick around. First timer here with us, John Whitaker, new hire on the Pride of Detroit staff. Pride of Detroit POD cast gets into the home stretch. Mail time. Hashtag ask POD. As always, get your questions in. Jeremy is not here. He is the one who does the reviews. I do not do reviews. Ryan, do you do reviews?
I don't do reviews. I don't get paid for it. I'm union.
We get paid?
No, boy.
Mm.
You ain't cutting into my pie.
Nope.
Can I hold out like Khalil Mack?
It's a good strategy. All right, let's get right into the questions then. I have yet to read this mailbag. So this is this is a chance to really get in here with some fun questions. And I mean, I was just kind of talking about this in the end of last segment. Suburban Dad writing us, preseason is just preseason, but should I adjust my expectations for this year? Odds of an 0-4 start feels more likely than playoff chances. I don't know if I would say that's more likely. What do you say, Ryan?
I don't care how bad the Lions look in the preseason. If you think that the Jets are going to come in here on Monday night and you think that an 0-4 start is looking more and more likely, I don't think you know how bad the Jets are.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the start of this season. Home against the Jets, which, I mean, they're starting Sam Darnold, and we've seen bad things happen to this Lions defense against rookie quarterbacks on their first starts before. But let me just tell you again, I'm not a huge believer in Sam Darnold, so we will see. I don't think the Jets, we'll see. Then on the road at the 49ers, and a lot of that's going to be dependent upon, you know, how decent is my great Italian boy Jimmy Garoppolo. But then, yeah, I'm looking at the next couple of games versus Patriots on Sunday Night Football, then at Cowboys. And that'll be interesting to see because I don't think the Cowboys are as good as they were 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Their offensive line has been in shambles. And I feel real, real bad for Travis Frederick, who got diagnosed with, what was the disease? I forget.
I think it's an autoimmune disease.
Yeah. Which is obviously not good for his career.
And I mean, Dak Prescott kind of got away scot-free with quite a bit, and we'll see what happens once they have Press Zeke Scott back. Free. Oh my god.
Yes, I like puns, by the way, folks.
I'm rethinking having him on the podcast now. News over the wire right now. We're sitting here recording this on a Sunday morning on the West Coast, I should say. Antonio Gates is back with the LA Chargers.
Dude, I said this on the list cast when we talked about tight ends that I thought about putting Antonio Gates number 10 on my list because I knew that he would play. And Jeremy goes, he's not even on a roster. And I said, he will be playing for the Chargers. And then you guys put Hunter Henry on your list.
Shut up.
Hunter,
he's on the pup.
He's not on the IR. So to your defense.
Didn't he tear his ACL though?
Yeah, he did.
I'm surprised.
That's a real quick recovery.
Hey. Yeah, I don't
miraculous
know.
Things with science these days.
It was pretty early on in like off-season workouts, though. I think it happened during OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. But even then, that'd be like Adrian Peterson level of recovery.
Yeah. Aaron Thompson asking us which college football team has the best looking uniforms. Now, before we get into this, I just want to say I've watched a little bit of Canadian college football to placate John, but I mean, you guys don't have college football the way we in America have college football.
No, it's really quiet. I mean, like even I was at the Vanier Cup a few years back, which is the championship, and like it's half full. I mean, half the people there were A, students, and then B, also they were giving out some free tickets to people if you had the ticket to the Grey Cup itself. So
yeah.
It's not as big. I mean, like even just college sports in general aren't that big. Like
even out on the prairies. Well, I mean, for hockey, you've got the major juniors, but like even out on the prairies with like University of Calgary, it's really kind of an empty scene. And Calgary is usually crazy for football.
Mm-hmm. They're probably one of the better ones.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to his question. Who has the best college uniforms?
Let me just Google best college uniforms real quick.
Jesus. What do you think, Ryan? Like, you can't just say Michigan State, though. I can't even say Notre Dame anymore. I'm a USC fan.
They lost yesterday, but I really like Texas's jerseys for some reason.
You like that? Do you like that they brought back the numbers on the helmets as well?
Oh, they did? I mean, I guess I'm a fan of that, but I'm just a fan of like the orange and then also a fan of the simplicity of the helmet. I mean, the numbers work fine too, though.
Yeah,
they have a great logo. Like their logo is just like, well, that's Texas.
Yeah.
You know?
Although it does, you can flip it upside down pretty quickly and make fun of them.
Yeah. Well, as you should do with the state of Texas.
I was about to say Georgia, but then I started thinking about a few others. I've got to go with Miami. Miami, the
nice
U has thing. Some really good colors. Yeah.
Yeah, orange really does it for me. So that, yeah, I'm a big fan of the U's jerseys too.
Yeah, orange and green. Those shouldn't go together, but they just look really nice together. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, after a quick Google search, I have found my answer. So it is University of Maryland, Maryland. Oh, it's the one that has their helmet is essentially the flag, and they have it on the shoulders as well.
That's like the Under Armour version of Oregon, though. Like, they never wear the same jersey each week.
I know, I was tempted to just say Oregon, but some of them, I don't like the really neon ones. It hurts my eyes.
But like, those schools can't count because they never have a simple jersey. It's not like Auburn. Auburn hasn't worn a different jersey in like forever.
Fine, I'll just say Alabama.
Ew.
Okay, never mind.
Wow, he's stumbling down the stretch here, man.
Fine, I'll go with Toledo.
Ooh, you're trying to appeal to me, huh?
Hey, they put up, yeah. Honestly, it is pretty cool, but they put up like 60-something yesterday.
Yeah, it was on VMI, though, but I mean, that happens.
I have no clue what VMI stands for.
That was a super cheap pop going with Toledo. If I had a backup jersey, though, I'm a big fan of the purple and yellow. I like LSU's jerseys a lot.
LSU's a good answer, too.
Purple and yellow. I'm sensing some Vikings here.
Nah, this is Baton Rouge. This has nothing to do with Vikings. Maybe Vikings of another kind. But
it is true, but I also do still own a Dante Culpepper jersey. So
they've got a great logo for their helmets too. They're kind of bringing back the old logo, yeah. I think. So that old Yowlin tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. Jamie Johnson with the Lions question for us. What are we doing with so little depth on offense?
On offense?
On offense.
I'm sorry, I read that wrong. On defense. Oh. Defense. My bad.
Dang it, Chris.
No, you're fine. I wanted to do a little rage corner here for thinking that the Lions have little depth on offense. If they have depth anywhere on this roster, it's on offense. But I truly think, go back to, you know, what I talked about earlier on the show. I think that the Lions are going to flip some of those numbers. They're going to change out some of those skill position players for defensive players that are now available on the market. Not to go too, you know, Patriot way thing, but there were some key Patriots that were cut that might end up their way on the roster. So I don't know. The other thing too, though, is that look at just Bob Quinn's draft, you know, like his draft this season, his modus operandi this season was, you know, building up the offensive line, goes and gets Frank Ragnow in round one, has to trade up to get Kerryon Johnson in round two. Drafted Tyrell Crosby as well. You know, he spent invested a lot of draft capital on, you know, bolstering the offense. So I don't know. I feel like it's a thing that moves in waves, though, because the draft before that, they spent a lot of draft capital on defensive players. So
are you perchance saying that we should establish the run?
I'm saying that the Lions will establish the run.
Fun. Jimmy at Throw Jimmy asking us, Tremors, the movie, turned 28 years old this year. Classic or piece of shit? I love it now.
Okay, so I think I've seen Tremors before.
It's older than you.
It is older than me. That was going to be my cop out.
Not even joking about Ryan's age at this point. Tremors is older than he is.
No, it's legitimately older than I am. Is it fair to put Tremors and Gremlins in the same box or no?
I think they belong to the same kind of box and that they're kind of a vaguely horror movie that was so campy that it almost came out the side of comedy.
I was going to say,
cult classic.
Yeah. So it kind of like dips its toes in comedy a little bit. Like, I'll take Gremlins over Tremors.
Yeah. I'm noticing that's kind of having a comeback too. I just watched the new trailer for the new Predators movie that's coming out this month. And a lot of people are really mad at it because it's not dark and grim or whatever the hell nerds get a chub about, but like, it's definitely dipping in. Like, Keegan-Michael Key is in the movie.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Keegan-Michael Key's in the movie. Yeah. Mm. So like, it's definitely dipping, but there's also like a lot of gore and everything. And it's a Predators movie at the end of the day. So. It's definitely dipping into that, like, Shane Black is definitely dipping into that campy horror vibe that they're trying to go for. So I'm going to see it.
Shane Black. He's good.
Yeah, that's what made those movies, like, that's what helps them stand the test of time, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you force it, like, if you pigeonhole the campiness into it, then, like, it won't work.
Cabin in the Woods?
How do you feel about Cabin in the Woods?
See, that's just it. Like, I mean, I've met people who are like, thought it was brilliant, but then a lot of people who thought just that they were trying to pigeonhole the campiness in it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me with that film, like, I was so not expecting it because I didn't have any like prior understanding of what the film was going to be about. And it truly looked like a horror film. But then like when it made that turn, I was like, oh, well, this is super cool.
Yeah, I think that Cabin in the Woods did introduce a new generation to the idea of camp horror, though.
Yeah.
Like that generation was not, because when I was growing up, at least, like Army of Darkness was still a thing I saw posters of.
I love that.
When I went into the Blockbuster. So like that was kind of like fading from memory before the new wave of horror hit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if you were younger like Ryan is, I'm sure you didn't get to experience that. So like, yeah, Cabin in the Woods kind of like. And that hit at the time when horror was taking itself way too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm tired of horror movies these days with like jump scares and whatnot. I mean, like at least Cabin in the Woods didn't have that many. But in terms of like just the pure like setting or you just like a really creepy vibe, it did a better job with that.
Yeah. When I grew up, there were too many like Halloween remakes, which is super funny because I think there's even another one that's coming out like like either this year or next year. But yeah, the horror genre was kind of like taking itself a little bit too seriously or trying to be like
all the Saw movies were out.
All the Saw movies. I mean,
those aren't even horror. They're just stupid. I don't like them.
Yeah, it's just it's horror porn. Yeah,
the first like, one was first one was all right. The next
like
one
Hostel.
Yeah. Pass.
Yeah, I mean the horror's got itself back on the feet. Like The Purge is like seriously like horror lore canon at this point.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't even know if I care about horror as a genre that much, but
I've never cared much.
There's some good ones. Like what is it? Silent Place, is that what it was called? That one was pretty good.
Oh, that one got a lot of good accolades.
Yeah. Oh, Krasinski. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only ones I've really watched a regular clip are any of the Aliens movies, though. So
yeah, see, I think I'm just much more of a, I think I'm more of a like a thriller or suspense guy. Like, would you consider like The Thing? Like, what would you consider that?
Well, that's suspense. Ooh. For sure.
That's, yeah. that's more than that's the thing. Like, we put these genres on everything. That kind of, that's a John Carpenter movie. John Carpenter is a master at just eluding the genre hole. Like he does movies for everything.
I think I'm more into the Alien or Aliens or The Thing or, you know.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
One of these things is not like the other things.
The original question, though, Tremors, good. Good. I think that's it's canon at this point.
Yeah, it's all right. I give it a 6 out of 9.
Nice. Tracy Lewis asking us, hello, I am 19 years old. Anyone want to chat with little girl? Okay, we've got spam in the mailbag for the first time. Throwing that out. Logan Anderson, which position groups do you think they took spots away from in order to make room for 4 tight ends and 6 wide receivers on this roster?
Dang it, I missed it. I had the chance. I should have been like, speaking of the movie Predators. dang it.
Good.
Which one, on Tracy Lewis or Logan Anderson?
Tracy Lewis, but I guess either one is kind of funny. But go ahead and somebody else answer this question.
So obviously we kind of touched upon this. The defensive line depth has really been sacrificed. And something I didn't actually touch upon before is the wide receiver, Bradley Marquez, or as I sometimes call him, Marquez Bradley. I always get them mixed up. He really didn't do much this preseason, and he still made the roster. Which, what do you guys think about that?
Meh.
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising. It was surprising at once. It's surprising again. The Lions should not keep 6 wide receivers. And I don't know. I was one of the biggest Brandon Powell supporters, but I mean, I thought at the end of the day, like, he should have been a practice squad guy.
Somehow this made it into our mailbag from one of Mansoor's threads. Someone named Nathan Berg tagging Ask POD. All the issues from Chris Perfett are still around after too many episodes. Does that mean Chris is a bust?
Well, you are adequate, so.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people would have called Eric Ebron adequate at best. But they called him a bust, too.
A good point. Mansoor replies to this question, by the way, by calling the question answer. He says, "You're a bust."
Last night, he called me NFL insider Ryan Matthews with two T's. And I was like, I appreciate that.
NFL running back Ryan Matthews.
I just want to say right now, I love all of our new staff. And I'm still trying to get Kelly on the podcast as well. And we've got to get Levi on as well. Levi, I'm sorry.
Speaking of new hires, we need to get Hamza back on Twitter. Everyone, can you add Twitter and just tell them, give him his account back?
Oh, yeah. He got banned because he joined Twitter like when he was too young.
Yeah, so, he was 13. Speaking of the movie Predator.
Free Hamza. Free Hamza. Hashtag, yeah. Let's start it up. Hashtag Free Hamza. All right. Oh. And the last question I have here is from John Whitaker, who has several questions here. All of them are really stupid. Which one do you want to take, John? You've got three of them here.
I guess each of us can go on. So, here's a good one. What are the odds that Billingsley goes on to become a Patriots legend? Ooh.
Can I just say, seriously, I'm getting tired of the Lions. But like, everyone keeps talking about the Patriot way and picking up guys not good enough to make the Patriots roster. Those are guys not good enough to make the Patriots roster, and I'm tired of getting their second scraps.
I hate
the Patriot way. I hate the Patriot way because it is the pinnacle of the NFL trying to copy itself. Rather than trying to make a Lions way or something, you have to copy another team. Like, go to hell.
Conversely, Jace Billingsley will definitely end up on that roster, and he'll probably put Julian Edelman out of a job.
Winnemucca's finest.
Yeah, Edelman will come back from his 4-game suspension, and they'll be like, nah, we got Billingsley.
He'll get Bledsoed.
Oh, poor Bledsoe.
All right. The one I want to ask from here is from John Whitaker. What are the odds that Matt Patricia is a sleeper agent for Jim Caldwell?
I think pretty likely. I mean, have we seen them in the same room together? I don't know.
I don't know. Are there any like tells that would let us know?
Two watches.
Yep, that's a good one.
Check the report.
Things of that nature.
He doesn't even put out the report anymore. Like, he's moved on from check the report to there is no report for you to see.
Where is Caldwell right now? I forget.
Making the XFL a thing.
Oh,
that's,
yes.
That's true. Yeah, he is on the
advisory. He's like the exact opposite of the XFL. He's
we've talked about it before. Oh, man.
That's exactly why he belongs there, though.
It's the perfect Jim Caldwell.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I Am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I Am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.